The New Testament reading today is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verses 23 through 32. It's one of these passages that I started working on, and then sometimes I go on the internet and see if anyone else has preached it. Not so much. Huh, but here I am. It's an interesting text, so let's see what may be revealed to us today. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority?" And Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it human origin?" They argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Then why do you not believe in him?' And if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd who regard John as a prophet." And so they answer Jesus, "We don't know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I come from or I am doing these things. What do you think? A man has two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second son and said the same, and he answered, 'I will go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of the father?" They said, "The first." And Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. I wonder that when you heard me reading that verse about the chief priests and the elders coming to Jesus when he was teaching and saying to him, "By what authority do you do these things? Who gave you the authority?" You thought, really? Why are they giving him such a hard time? He's just teaching in the temple. Why are they bothering him? What right do they have to ask him that? What authority do they have to ask him that? Well, I'm going to tell you, they have every right to ask him that question. You wouldn't get that from what I read. You have to go further in the story to see what happens. That's the trick when you're reading Scripture. You have to see what goes before and after, but that's a little teaching moment. I'll stop. I'm going back. See, before we enter this story, Jesus has come into Jerusalem in what we call the triumphal entry. This means that he has ridden into Jerusalem during Passover time on a donkey, and the people have put down the palm branches and their coats, and they yell out, "Hosanna, Son of David." Now, you may know that that is a way of saying he is the Messiah, he's the king, and they're doing that in a country that is occupied by Romans. Can you understand the message there? And Jesus's coming in has caused turmoil in the city. People are asking who he is. And if that isn't enough, he goes into the temple and in this burst of anger overturns all the tables of the money lenders and of the dove sellers and kicks them out of the temple and then starts healing people, the blind and the lame, and he starts teaching people, and all the while the children are still shouting out, "Hosanna, the Son of David, Hosanna." I got to tell you, it is chaos in the temple that day. The elders and the chief priests, the powers that be, come up to him and say, "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the authority?" They're saying, "Who gave you the power, the right to disrupt our lives, the lives of this city?" They know that he doesn't come by their authority, not with their blessing is he doing these things. Now, authority is an interesting word. are in, if you look it up in the dictionary, its meaning is tied to power. The power to advise, the power to determine, to adjudicate, the power to control, power which is given. In Jesus' day, authority came in two ways. There was authority of the religious people, the elders and the chief priests, and the authority of the government, the occupying Roman forces. And Jesus didn't seem to fit in any of those camps. There's another kind of authority. It's that kind of, who do we give our personal authority to? Who has authority over our hearts and our minds, imaginations, our spirits? Kind of, who has the authority over a soul of a person? Jesus seems to be a little bit more like that. So when the elders and the chief priests ask him, who gives you authority? They really aren't asking that to learn anything from Jesus. They aren't wanting to know about him. It isn't a time for them to do some evangelism. No, there's none of that possibility here. They are asking him to trap him, to shut him down, to take away his power, his influence, which I expect they would have liked to have if the truth be told. And Jesus answers their question with another question. It's kind of like a riddle. It's not untypical of that day. I will ask you one question. If you answer that question for me, I'll tell you who my authority comes from. Did the baptism of John come from heaven or human origin? And I can imagine them all kind of huddled up together, and they're raising their voices. They're arguing about how they are going to answer him. What answer is going to get them in the least amount of trouble? Which answer will take away his power and give it to them? And I suspect if it would have been today, they would have set a poll out. They would have done some kind of Twitter thing, or they would have texted, and they would have found the answer, and then they would have given that one. But they realize they can't give him a good answer. They can't give an answer which won't alienate one group or the other. And I suspect they had an opinion on this, but they just weren't willing to give it. So they took the cowardly way out. They said, we don't know. And Jesus says, well, then I'm not going to tell you what authority I come by. And I suspect Jesus was also saying, at least you could say the truth. You could stand for something, even if it's not correct. Why don't you take a risk and say what you think? We might be able to have a real discussion. Then maybe we could give some answers and some questions which might make a difference. But not them. They say, we don't know. Authority. I've been pondering this concept all week. I've never really preached on authority. I've hoped I've preached with some. I don't know about that. Who do we give authority to? Who has it over us? Who do we listen to? Who do we trust? Is it a person? Is it a church? Is it someone in the country? So I got a little wise. I decided to call someone who knew more about this than I did. So I called Erwin Barron over there. He's a reverend, and he teaches and he preaches. But I called him because he's a professor of ethics. And I thought he probably knows something about this. Well, he didn't really tell me what I wanted to hear. I wanted an answer. And he said, well, tell me what you think. Just like, shoot, he got me. But he was willing to say that authority is about trust. That's the key issue there. And philosophers will talk about authority that it's given, that people give authority, it's not taken. And the question is, who do we give our trust to? Who has authority over this? And I pondered with him that I wondered if some of the just anger and rancorness in politics is because we don't trust anyone very much anymore. We're not willing to give our authority to anyone, so we've taken sides. It seems easier than figuring out who we can really listen to and who we should follow, and realizing that it may not just be one person, that it's probably not one side or the other, it's bipartisan. So we've decided not to deal with this, so we pull to one side or the other. Erwin talked about that. Maybe that's what's going on in the Middle East right now. People have said no to the kind of authority they have not had a choice to give, authority that was forced on them. They have said no to that in revolt, and now there's a void because who is going to lead them? Who can they trust? And that's where there is some very tenuous and exciting time right now. Who will lead them forward? But we think about authority. And I think about authority as a pastor. You may think I have authority because I stand in this thing. Oh, my Lord, isn't this just, you get to stand this thing with this fake Bible up here? I don't think this counts for much, but they must have hoped something when they did it. I wear this robe. Does this give me authority? Well, not really. It does remind me that I'm about something else that's not just about me. This does have a real name to it. It's called a Geneva gown. And it comes from John Calvin's day, 500 years ago, when he started the Presbyterian Church in Geneva, Switzerland. John Calvin was trained as a lawyer. So what did he wear? Lawyer's robes, the robes of an academic. You still see them. Judges wear these. And it was to remind the people that we were a learned people, but it also was supposed to give some authority in itself, that the one who wore this was supposed to be one who followed God. Well, one would hope, but you know, you can buy these if you have a couple hundred dollars. It doesn't really come with its own power. When you hired me about 4 years ago, you did give me some authority. You checked out my credentials. You made sure I'd gone to some schools, I'd been to some churches and not caused a lot of trouble. And you invited me into your pulpit. Now, you did give me a chance to show if I would be one to follow. You at least gave me a chance to see if my words would match my actions, if I could be trusted in a crisis, if I was a person of faith. And then you might see if you would follow or not. It's not given to me just because I have the robe. Erwin and I talked about, as a pastor, one of the scariest things for us to do is not when we're wearing this robe, when we walk into a hospital room. And someone may know us just a little bit, or they might not know us, as they in the South, as they say, from Adam. And we walk into this crisis time and say, I'm the pastor. And often, miraculously, they gave us a bit of authority. And Erwin and I said, we learned that probably to keep this authority, to gain it, it meant it was better not to say anything. Because when you go in with these clips, oh, God does this to teach you something, or I know exactly how you feel. Really? I don't think so. That when you are quiet and you listen and you care, that's ironically when you may be given some authority. I wonder in your lives who you have given authority to, who you have trusted, who you have granted that gift of leadership to. You know, it may be a teacher, a parent, a partner, maybe a leader, maybe a preacher, a friend, maybe a boss or a neighbor. Maybe it's someone you don't even know. I wonder who you've given authority to. What are their characteristics? How have they led you? I want you to think about that a bit. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something radical. Well, not really radical because we're Presbyterians. It'd be radical for me. I want you to think in silence for a bit of who you've given authority to. What are their characteristics? And what have they taught you? And then I want you to turn to someone and share that with them and then listen to their answer. Now, the talking and the listening isn't hard for you all. I know you. The part is you've got to make sure everyone has someone to talk to. And that means for those of us who think we know everyone and we're so friendly, you have to find that person who is no one is sitting next to him. If you don't want to talk, oh, look at Erwin's already working. Good guy. If you don't want to talk, just say, I'd rather listen. So find someone. I want you to first just be quiet for about a minute and think about who you've given authority to. And then I'm going to turn and I want you to talk and to listen. You can say your name. It's kind of a radical idea. But I want you to talk about this for a bit. So, okay, be quiet and think. Okay, now I invite you to seek someone out. Talk with them and listen. Who have you got? Because you don't want me to go out there and make you talk to someone, because I will. You can do threesomes. I don't care. Just find someone. Okay, if you've got two people, the other one should be talking and the other one listening now, if you can. Okay, I'm gonna ask you if you can tell me who it was in your groups. Oh, you don't have to. Yeah, don't reveal something you're not supposed to. Thank you. You might want to tell on yourself. Anyone over here that you were caught by? What kind of people? Now, see, I love this. I ask them a question. No one's like, fine, we're talking, but you ask us. Like, was it teachers? Who was it? Bosses? Friends? The choir? Yeah, and really humble choir director. We're saying partners are some of them. Husband and wife, there's some there. What about you over here? Who do you listen to? The community children. Isn't that an interesting one? Any back here want to volunteer? Parents, siblings, friends. What about the balcony? I think I heard, I got to look at you to hear you. Pastor, what'd you say? Oh, you said the pastor? That's what I choose to believe you said. What about the choir? Some would say they're animals. Teach them something. Teachers, school teachers. Relatives and family. It's interesting who has authority over us. We hate, you know that thing that says question authority? It's true. But sometimes you also have to figure out who would you follow, and they're probably unlikely people. I suspect if you went back to them and said, you have influenced me, they'd say, really? I don't even remember saying those things. But somehow you discern who are the people, the trust, the ones that will lead you. In this church, it's no surprise, as I said to the kids, we try to discern the way of Christ, and we learn the way of Christ through other people. Through reading, through stories. But I want to enter just a minute back into the scripture. Jesus never quite tells them where his authority comes from, but he tells them a story. He often does this. He tells them a story and says, what do you think of this story? There is a man with two sons. He says to one son, go out and work. And the son says, no, I'm not going. And later works. He says to the other son, go out and work. He says, oh, yes, sir, I will. And he does not do it. And Jesus said, who does the will of the Father? And they get it. On this one, they get the answer. They say, the one who did the work. And it can be, then I suspect the people who were listening thought, he's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders. You're the ones that say the words and you don't do the work. And they probably thought, oh, we're the ones. We're like the tax collectors and the prostitutes. And then they went, ooh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, though, the story isn't quite that easy. Because the truth is, we in this church, we're the ones that use our words a lot. We're probably those established people. Maybe it's convicting us a bit. I don't know. But the truth is, Jesus is saying neither of those sons are a role model. Not the one who said, I won't do it, and later did. And not the one that said, oh, yes, I will, and didn't do it. Jesus is really pointing out that the one who says the words and does the actions, that's the one we're supposed to follow. Not these other two sons. Our goal is our words and our actions mesh. I think that's the kind of authority Jesus had. That his words and his actions meshed each other. And that's why people listened to him. He spoke God's truth. He didn't always do what would be the safest for him, with what the ones that would bring him most power or make his life easy. He spoke the words of God. He thought that kind of authority was the one he wanted to be. He was the kind of person whose words and actions meshed. It's like a story I heard about a young man who went to Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains, Georgia. Anyone know whose church that is? Irwin? Jimmy Carter's church. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Let me tell you, Plains has not much to it. but people would go in mass numbers when Jimmy Carter taught Sunday school. And the pastor's son went, took a trip down there, hear Jimmy Carter preach, not preach, but teach, and he brought his dad back the bulletin. And of course, the son really couldn't remember what he'd said. Yeah, that's not too unbelievable, but the father read the bulletin, and what it said in the bulletin in that little place where it does announcements, it said, next Saturday, Rosalind Carter will be cleaning the kitchen. Jimmy Carter will be mowing the grass and trimming the hedges. Now, there's a man who teaches and preaches and acts the same, a man whose words fit his actions. He could teach about the least of these and not be too good to do any job. See, that's in some ways the kind of authority we long for, where words and actions mesh. And I guess if you're in this place, you're looking for some authority in your life. You're looking to walk in the way of faith. And it's kind of scary to say we need leading. You know, we're people that said, I know everything and my way's the best. Not in the church. We say we need a Lord and Savior. That's a fancy way of saying we need to be led. We are not doing it on our own. We seek this one who spoke truth and love to all people. He invited Pharisees and elders and chief priests to follow him. He invited prostitutes and tax collectors to follow him. Everyone he invited, and invited them to turn their lives over and to change. See, that's the amazing thing. And when we get together, it's not just my idea as Maggie is the best or your idea. We come seeking the way of Christ. Elders and deacons, our big leaders, you know, they're not supposed to take a tally of who wants what. They're supposed to go into meetings and listen with the ears of Christ. You know, that's kind of hard to do. It may be my way is not the right way. It may be that you, Jan, have a really decent idea that I didn't think about and I don't like very much. But maybe that is the way of Christ. We do this in a community, and we seek the community's good, not just our own. That means we want to be housed in somewhere safe, and we want other people. We want enough to eat, but we long that everyone will have enough to eat. We seek the will of God and the way of Christ. So I invite you to stay in this place, to listen to this one who comes with an authority that he doesn't claim, but invites people and says, what do you think? Come follow the way of Christ, whose words and actions meshed, invites us to live our life the same. What do you think?